Hello again, listeners. This is Todd Maxwell, a member of the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body One Camera Team, and today I'm speaking with members of the Metropolitan Police Department. Today I have Commander Ralph Enos of the Technical Services Department, Derek Meeks, who is Director of the BWC Program and Technology Innovation, and Anita Avishankar, PhD Research Fellow. Commander Ralph Enos is over 22 years of police service on the Metropolitan Police Department. He began his career as a recruit officer in September of 1994 and quickly rose through the ranks, achieving the rank of sergeant in 1999, lieutenant in 2001, and captain in January 2007. Chief of Police Kathy Lanier appointed him as her chief of staff and promoted him to the rank of inspector in October 2007. In February 2014, he was promoted to the rank of commander and transferred to the Tactical Information and Intelligence Division, where he oversaw criminal intelligence, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and the Department's CCTV and ShotSpotter programs, the Command Information Center, and the Joint Operations Command Center. In February 2015, he was reassigned to the Executive Office of the Chief of Police, where he served Chief Lanier as her until her departure in September of 2016. Commander Enos was then moved to oversee the Technical Services Division, is a new division of the department tasked with overseeing all the IT functions of MPD. Commander Enos is a veteran of the United States Air Force, where he was a security police officer with a specialty in law enforcement. He served in the Pacific Theater. Derek Meeks is a technology executive with over 25 years of IT in the IT industry. He joined the Metropolitan Police Department in 2014. Throughout his career, he's worked as an enterprise architect, project manager, and Chief Technology Officer. He started working in Chief Kathy Lanier's office in 2015, supporting the Body Worn Camera Program, an effort he has a passionate belief in. As this program has successfully unfolded, he has taken on the responsibility for technology strategy efforts across the department. Derek's expertise in project program management, technology operation, and processes suited the needs of the Body Worn Camera Program. He also has expertise in IT governance, enterprise architecture, and technology strategy, helping business executives articulate and achieve their vision for their organization. They provided leadership in multiple organizations, making their core business system replacement efforts successful. He has worked in law enforcement, insurance, lodging, automotive, and consulting industries. Anita is a PhD candidate in the University of Michigan's Public Policy and Political Science Joint PhD program with a theoretical and applied policy background in justice and security sectors. Her academic research focuses on the study of public trust and political violence, and she has experience with the design and implementation of multi-method research. In MPD, Anita manages the body-worn camera evaluation, assisting with study design, implementation, and data collection efforts. She also coordinates research between the research team and MPD and provides additional analytic support as needed. First of all, I just want to say thank you all for taking time to join me today.
Thank you.
Thank you to be here.
So what led MPD to adopting a body-worn camera program?
Well, at MPD, we pride ourselves on being an inclusive and open policing organization. We're always looking for ways to improve our legitimacy within our community in Washington, D.C. And we've worked very hard over the past decade to ensure that we have clear lines of communication with those that we serve. We particularly focus on keeping the community informed of our philosophy, our initiatives, and our activities relating to policing. About 3 years ago, MPD began researching body-worn cameras at the Chief Lanier's at her request. We began this exploration, well, I just want to point this out of note, is that we began this exploration many years before the recent high-profile incidents that have embroiled our country in relation to policing and the heightened national attention on police accountability. It was Chief Lanier's philosophy. She wanted to make sure that, you know, that the public knew how good of a police department we had, and she felt that the body camera program would really heighten the public's awareness of our department. So we did a bunch of research and confirmed our expectations that the use of body cameras would further our efforts of openness with the community It would improve our police services. It would increase accountability for individual interactions, good or bad, and would enhance public safety. Our agencies, other agencies, so we looked at the very first step we did is we looked at police agencies across the country, and we noticed that they had, through anecdotal reporting and through some small studies, reported declines in uses of force, bettering interactions with citizens and such like that. So given the expected benefits and the fact that more and more departments were launching BWC programs, we decided to join suit. We believe that body cameras are an important step in restoring the public trust in law enforcement nationally. Of note, when we decided that we were going with body cameras, we made the decision early on that we were going to do a study, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little later on. But our deployment of cameras was designed by a team of national researchers who analyzed, who will analyze and are currently analyzing the impact of body cameras on such issues as citizen complaints, use of force, and a host of other measurable outcomes. We're very proud of our researchers, and we're very proud of our study here at MPD. The lessons and findings of this evaluation will benefit district residents, the MPD, and law enforcement agencies and communities across the country that are also considering the use of body cameras. So, in a nutshell, we chose to do it as one more step in the logical process for our department, for our openness, and to keep the community informed and better the trust within the community.
Thank you. If you've lived in this area, you've sort of seen some of the public feedback and how you guys garnered that. But for our listeners outside the National Capital Region, can you explain how the department went around garnering public feedback and promoting and explaining this program to the community?
Yeah, it's a very important point. So I'll start back towards the beginning and how we got to where we are today. In 2013, we began research in the use, purchase, and deployment of the cameras. While researching the program, we collaborated with agencies from all across the country who were using body cameras to pull their best practices and to learn from their mistakes and to craft a policy that we felt was robust and would guide our officers in their use of cameras. During that time, we also coordinated with some independent agencies we have in D.C. D.C. is a little unique in the structure and, how cases are tried and prosecuted. So we coordinated with the Office of the Attorney General, who prosecutes low-level cases here in D.C. We prosecuted with the U.S. Attorney's Office, who prosecutes most, and we collaborated with the Office of Attorney, U.S. Attorney, and they do most of our high-level cases, anything, in adult cases. We also coordinated with the Office of Police Complaints, which is an independent organization that reviews complaints against and actually investigates complaints made against police officers in the district. And one of the most important things we did is got our union on board from the get-go. When we had decided that we were going to look at body cameras, we brought our police union in and made sure they were aware of our thought process, why we were going down the road we were, and that we had their buy-in. So that was more of the internal coordination that we undertook. We also did a bunch of external coordination. We discussed the program at community meetings throughout the city. Chief Lanier was very engaged in the community, and she and her command staff regularly attended meetings. She made sure that we discussed it with our community members so that as they were hearing our progress on the news and through other avenues, that they were aware of what we were doing and that we could quell some of the rumors that maybe started within the community in relation to the body camera program. We also engaged other stakeholders like the ACLU in conversation as well. Of note is that we participated in meetings that were facilitated through the Deputy Mayor of Public Safety and Justice. These meetings included all stakeholders from across the city, so from the far right to the far left. We had identified key persons from the organizations. We brought them into a room, and we had facilitated discussions about our program, about policy, about privacy, about all the major policy implications of having a program. we took their feedback into consideration, and they used that in balancing interests in relation to public access to videos and the significant privacy concerns that were out there for body camera videos. The meetings ultimately led to regulations designed to ensure the district had proper protections in place to ensure the appropriate level of privacy for the members of the public, and that all of our efforts were designed to ensure that we were open with the public about our ideas and our BWC program, and we appropriately considered their feedback. So what that ultimately led to is the District of Columbia Council passed legislation that dictated some specific information about what would able to be FOIA'd, Freedom of Information Act or Open Government Act, what couldn't, and it put some particular privacy implications in place for certain types of interactions we have with the public, like sexual assault or, you know, a complainant trying to report sexual assault or domestic violence or stalking. So it dictated what could and could not be released to the public on top of the FOIA regulations.
DC is unique in that it has multiple law enforcement agencies all working inside the district, federal and local, and then you have surrounding county police that are also involved sometimes. So can you sort of talk about how you collaborate with those agencies and if any of that factored into your implementation program and the policy formation?
Well, first, yeah, I'll just start off by answering the question directly, and yes, it did. It did. We did consider a lot of feedback from various agencies when coming up with our policies.
One of the things that was really interesting as an outsider to the police department in some parts, obviously employee, but being an outsider, not being very fluent with police policy and these kinds of things, sitting in on these meetings and listening to and watching some of the best and brightest across the entire department come together and knit together all of the different concerns from different advocacy groups and different organizations, actual statutes in the city, privacy concerns, and knit together a comprehensive policy that truly is the cornerstone of the program. To me, that was a really great process to watch. And as the person responsible for going and making the program happen, it is the thing that is the fallback. It is what makes the program successful, because now all we have to do, is go and actually make the program actually happen at an operational level. How we go about doing it and what we're trying to accomplish is the thing that was the outcome of this whole kind of inclusive, comprehensive process.
Yeah. So DC, as you indicated, we have police agencies for all over the walks of life from different portions of government. I mean, there's tons. There's dozens and dozens of agencies here in the district. And they each have their own unique mission. So what we did is we worked with our partner agencies, first of all, to ensure they were aware of the program, the policy, which Derek just spoke of, and the protections that were currently in place for the release of video, which is really most people's concern as far as policing goes, is that to make sure that the video is protected and not out in public where it could compromise people's safety. We considered their concerns, especially in relation to the fact that these videos would now be capturing sensitive law enforcement information and contacts and operations on video. So we wanted to make sure that they were comfortable that these videos that were being created weren't going to get out into the public to where they could do harm to the agencies and their operations. So what we did is, we worked with them and we made sure that they were able to work within our policy, and we assuaged their concerns for overall security of the program. It took some talking, but they eventually bought in, the few agencies that did express some concern. Overall, though, we've received positive feedback from the agencies with very few concerns that had to be addressed. One example, though, that is not necessarily a law enforcement agency, but it was between stakeholders from the fire department and the hospitals, and they had particular concerns about the privacy of individuals who were interacting with, and the fact that we were filming interactions of people receiving medical care. And after several meetings, between the fire department and the hospital association here in DC, and after we explained the security in place for the videos, we were able to work through it. And their privacy concerns were lessen, and they've since been mitigated. We have a pretty good relationship with them. We made sure that they had information for decision makers within the department, within the program, that could quickly address their concerns, and we've got positive feedback from that. The last thing I want to talk about is that we've fielded numerous inquiries from partner agencies here in the district who are thinking about implementing a BWC program themselves. Of note, though, is that, you know, D.C., we're the main law enforcement agency within the district. When someone calls 911, they're calling the Metropolitan Police Department. So we control the technology systems for processing arrests and making reports in the city. So the implementation of the program wasn't really going to affect what most of these agencies were going to do. As I stated earlier, the main concern was over privacy and make sure the videos didn't get out. For example, videos that maybe have made during a presidential motorcade, or, you know, that may be taken in a sensitive area in one of the government buildings in the city. But we were fortunate, and through our open dialogue that we started early on within the program, and the fact that we didn't spring this on people, that, you know, it was well thought out and timely in our implementation of the program, we were able to work through all of those issues.
This concludes part one of our podcast with the Metropolitan Police Department.